Hello and welcome to Father Figures, the show about parenting, with an emphasis on fatherhood, uncommon fathers, fathers of all stripes. Here is where we explore the joys and griefs, the risks and rewards of being a parent. I'm Stephen Amaya. Our guest for this episode is a resident of Fort Stevens and a father of three. So let's just get started, shall we? I'm here with my guest, whose name is Tom Elston, and he is a father of how many kids?
I have three children. Two biological sons, a seventh grade, he's 13. I have a sophomore who's 15. And then I have what I call my bonus son, who's 19, who just graduated high school last year.
Oh, all right. What's he going to do?
He's actually going to go to college, which is very surprising to us because he was one of those children who just did not like school. He liked sports, and he has a girlfriend who's going to college, and I think that's really been the motivation right there.
Yeah, that'll do it. So the arc of your life, say, from first parenthood to now.
Well, how I perceive it is I try to model being more curious about the world and having a little less of a glass ceiling and just being more adventurous, whether it's food, culture, travel, you name it. So those are things that growing up, I've been blessed to work in fields where I enjoy my job, whereas my father had a begrudging city job that didn't bring him joy. And as a result, I didn't see my father experience a lot of joy.
Oh, what city was this in?
This was in Kalispell, Montana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he worked as a parks director and a garbage man for a lot of years.
Okay. So,
which I actually loved him as a garbage man because he'd bring home treasures.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I love that part. But for me, I've been in different degrees of social services, different things where we get to explore the mind and the emotions of things and really being able to translate that to my kids and modeling how to talk about things and how to be in the world. So,
did you ever have a really bad conflict with your dad?
Yes, many. Yeah.
Oh, do tell.
I was probably not the easiest teenager, much like most would say, but where I grew up, drugs and alcohol were very prevalent. Yeah. It was on the reservation. It was in trailer parks. And so at a young age, we were smoking and drinking and getting into things we probably shouldn't have been at that age. That ran into some conflicts with my father. And we had moments of fist fights and things of that nature.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
How severe were these fist fights?
You know, what I learned from them is that it was a way to not talk about the things we needed to talk about. Mm. It was a way to express, much as boys do. And so I was taught to throw a fist rather than be vulnerable.
Okay. And where did the fist land? Generally.
Oh, I punched my dad in the face.
In the face?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say that he wasn't an abusive person. I want to be clear that he wasn't abusive. It's just the way that we communicated.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you about, there are four things that the show generally covers, and those are grief and joy, risks and rewards. And let's just go down them in the list they're listed in. Grief. What's been the biggest grief you've had as a parent with one of your children?
Not so much with my children, but the moment that my kid's mother and I divorced was a really hard time because my children were 1 and 3.
Mm.
And so that was a very traumatic incident for them, but also as a young emerging father. And what was complicated for me, the grief part was that I didn't know how to be a dad when everybody was pointing the finger at me going, what did you do? As opposed to, I'm sorry you guys dissolved or couldn't work things out. We couldn't be amicable. It was always, what did you do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And that led to me not being a present dad. It led to me having a lot of doubt about my fatherhood abilities, capabilities. And so that would be, for me, the biggest grief moment was knowing that I kind of surrendered those first couple years of not being the best dad I could have been.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And joy?
Joy is I've gotten to coach all my kids in baseball.
All right.
I've been an assistant coach here in Astoria for 6 years. I absolutely adore watching these fellows grow up, and I still see them. They're like, what's up, coach? And just seeing them take pride and joy in a craft that I also love. So
yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. risks. Have you ever taken any risks with your kids? Like not so much put them in, you know, go pet the sharks, but you know, it's like, ooh, should I have done that?
I say a risk that we took is my kids were born and raised in Portland. Yeah. We moved out to Fort Stevens 8 years ago, and it was a very big culture shock because we lived in North Portland. We were in diverse schools, and then we come out here, and my kid came home and goes, everybody's white, Dad.
No.
And it was just a thing, you know, where it was a big risk because we were removing some of the cultural things that they were learning about being in more of a urban setting, going back to like a slower pace sort of setting. And I would say it's paid dividends just in their relationship and how they show up in the community. So that was the risk reward part, I'd say.
Yeah.
Risk also speaks to, we aren't those type of parents who are like real hovering. We really allow for exploration and mistakes.
Do you believe in free range children?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. I believe in, and that's part of the reason we moved out to this area. We're surrounded with 3,700 acres or so in Fort Stevens. That is our backyard. The kids get on their bike and they disappear for the day. And I don't have qualms about their safety.
Yeah.
So.
Let's see here. Tell me about the work you do.
Yeah. So I work for an organization that's a statewide family run organization called the Oregon Family Support Network, also known as OFSN. And my specific role is I'm a parent engagement and advocacy specialist. What that means is I do trainings, coaching, facilitations of classes, and I help parents navigate how to advocate for their family. So with Oregon Family Support Network, I'm able to do things like the Nurturing Fathers Program, which I'm extremely passionate about. That is an evidence-based curriculum that was developed in Florida, and it's... well, I brought you a copy, actually, Stephen.
Oh, okay, great.
For you to have. But it's
thank you.
It's a 13-week course that can be done in person or online for 2 hours.
Tools for being a great dad.
Tools for being a great dad. And it starts from the beginning.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you for this. This will give me all kinds of interesting...
Yeah, so there's some homework in there. We meet as a group, typically 5 to 15 people, and we just get right into it. We talk about it. There's some homework. There's some reflection. Wow. Some self-work, and then there's skill sharing.
You know, is not interested in nurturing fathers. He's got a whole different thing going on in his life, and it's just not in the cards, you know, to be a part of this group. Is there any way to recruit from other areas than just people who want to be in this program?
Yeah, so actually, like, my slight pushback to that first reaction is that was mine as well. But what we've experienced in my co-facilitator, he actually delivers at the youth prison, the McLaren prison in Salem. Yeah. And some of that doesn't come from a desire to want to take the class, but maybe more of a legal, you need to take something. Uh-huh. And where that has shown up and been really helpful is the instance of folks going through custody situations. Taking a parenting class can really help a person in a couple ways. Also, how they show up and talk to a judge. How do they talk to their ex? Instead of maybe the lashing out, it could be, how can we work together? There's a lot of chapters in there where we talk about the power to versus power over, which is just another way of saying, how can we be collaborative? And so learning those skills.
Oh, okay.
So, but your general point is, it's people who are going, I have some questions. My current class has an 18-year-old who has a brand new baby and a grandfather who has to take custody of the kids and all the folks in between. So it's kind of a smorgasbord of experience.
Wow.
And it's magical when a 60-year-old man can tell an 18-year-old, I also don't know how to change a diaper anymore. So
their diapers are made of completely different things.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Yes. Now, I imagine there are connections made among the participants that may last beyond the class.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's for me, I like to share folks, I'm not a teacher, I'm a facilitator.
Right.
And it's kind of like this joke is that I'm a peer and I'm not up here. Like, I don't know any more than you.
Uh-huh.
I have worked through some of these things. I have some sharpened skills, but there's always more to learn. And with that, I've made some wonderful friends. In fact, I just did what was called a dad walk that I did in Portland. Okay. And seven of the folks who graduated came and met me. We walked around a park for 2 hours and just got to shake hands and hug and connect. And what's been different in your life in the last 6 months? And you know, just getting to hear the trials and tribulations of fatherhood.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Have you ever been a stay-at-home dad?
I've had moments of that.
Yeah. What was the longest moment?
Oh, probably about 6 months is all, just kind of in between employment type thing. But I can tell you that it was one of the best experiences of my life because I did things like take my kids to dentist appointments. I got to be with them when they were sick. I got to go to, you know, parent-teacher conferences. And I never felt more connected in my kids' lives than when you do those basic things that oftentimes as fathers miss out on.
How long have you been married?
So I was married in my first marriage for a little over 4 years. We divorced when my kids were 1 and 3. I was basically a single dad, part-time dad, weekend dad, all the things for a couple of years. And I did not want to fall in love. I met a lady who was a single mom, and we would have these wonderful moments where, you know, when you have split custody, you have days where you're not dad on duty, right?
Right.
And we would have these dates where we'd have breakfast and coffee in her garden and would just kind of like took things very slow. She was a single mother. So we would like organically meet at the park and our kids would play on the swings together and be like, oh, and think nothing of it. And then some time went by and just like, do you want to just do this Brady Bunch thing? And that was 12 years ago. Yeah. So we've been married for 8 years and or 7 years, excuse me. And it's come with all kinds of challenges.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
Oh, man. But I've never learned a fiercer love and been challenged to be a better version of myself than I have in this last year.
I heard something in a movie some years back where the main character was unlucky in love. And, you know, he'd been broken up with and he was sad and he was, he was played by Steve Carell. And I can't remember the name of the movie, but Steve Carell's daughter is leaving with her boyfriend. And this is unacceptable to Steve Carell. And they were talking about, you know, but I love her, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the kid, the boy who was in the car leaving said, love isn't a feeling. Love is a skill.
Well, gosh, that resonates.
Yeah, I think that's of anything I've ever come across in this show, this entire run of the show, it's that love is a skill.
I really like that, and I really want to let that set with me for a little bit because I think about that even with my relationship with my children.
Yeah.
Like I said, the very first couple of years, I wasn't sure what that was.
Yeah.
And now, when I drop my kids off at school, even my high school kid, we say, I love you every morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it took some work to get there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the effort that we've all put into it, so.
Do you have ideas or sort of wishes or concepts or dreams about your kids and what they'll be like when they're older?
I don't want to put an expectation on my children, but the thing that I would love to see, and this is a really funny thing that I learned from my dear friend, old man Jack here in town, is I want my kids to think of me as a friend at some point in their life. Meaning when they're 25, I'd like to think that they'd call me up and be like, Dad, you want to go grab a beer and a pizza?
Yeah.
Like, I would feel like I hit the jackpot if that was to occur.
Yeah.
As far as what they want to be, that has always been their choice. I can only model and encourage.
Yeah. Yeah. Being an example is my daughter, you know, she wants to be so many different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but with each one, she learns there are things she can't do. And I can't imagine the amount of resilience that requires or you know, just to realize that you can't do something not because you don't want to or you don't have the mental wherewithal, but because you are physically incapable of it. And that must be hard to face. Although, I have to say, I think I mentioned this in our pre-interview, was that kids with disabilities that are behavioral are difficult in themselves, and kids who are disabled physically, like, say, cerebral palsy, but don't have behavioral issues, that's a whole different thing. And sure. I'm glad my daughter was the physical side, but I'll tell you, my heart goes out to parents of children with behavioral difficulties. That must be a 24/7 anguish, you know.
Yeah, and thanks for naming that and sharing your experience, because, you know, we have varied degree of autism within our family, which comes with some curves, but the physical part would be really challenging for me because we are such a physical family, and those limitations, I can't imagine what that feels like. So, but, you know, with my work with Oregon Family Support Network, a lot of what we do is we offer respite for parents, we offer support groups, we offer a warm line just so you can have someone to talk to without judgment.
Yeah,
we have classes, we have coachings. So we have a lot of, we're an organization of parents with children with different challenges in how we show up for one another. And just
how often do you do this?
Well, as an organization, we have basically a parent support group just about every day of the week.
Oh, okay.
We have respite for parents who just, sometimes they have a kid who requires 24/7 care.
Yeah.
They can bring their child in and go have a date night.
I know.
Those little things that can allow you to value yourself again a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that can be really challenging.
Yeah.
It can be very selfless to be a parent like that.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes, you know, who you used to be was a long time ago.
Yes.
It feels that way anyway.
And then even within the Nurturing Fathers classes, a lot of the gentlemen are like, I have kids who are in a wheelchair or autistic, nonverbal. What do I do?
Yeah.
And while I don't have those, that personal knowledge, I have enough skills to be able to share, be there, connect them with others, and collaborate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So how is the OFSN going to grow, and is it going to offer more things, or is it a fledgling group that has a chance of falling by the wayside, or what's going on?
Well, the world right now, as we know it, has got some uncertainties, especially in the nonprofit human services sector.
Yeah.
There isn't always an administration that values that. But without going off on a tangent there, what I can offer is that OFSN has been around for 35 years.
Oh, that's good.
And we are the first family-run organization in the state. We model not having to have a degree, but how to have a human being with some life lived experience. So you hear that more, but we've been modeling it. And what I'd like to say for the future is that I'm being afforded the opportunity to really help grow and develop a fatherhood program.
Okay.
And so what I'm actually part of is part of a task force without the whole state with other organizations. And we are putting on the first fatherhood, Oregon Fatherhood Summit. That'll be in Portland, Oregon, March 19th.
March 19th.
It's an all-day event with speakers from all around the globe, and just sharing skills.
Well, that's great. Where's it going to be held?
The Tony Hopkins Center, which is an SEI building in Northeast Portland.
Okay.
I will throw my email on here if anybody wants more information.
Yeah, please. Please tell me about not only your own email, but the ways people can get in touch with the OFSN.
So OFSN.org is a really great landing page. It'll have connection to anything and everything. We have coaching, classes, groups, whether you're a parent navigating children with LGBTQ questions, basically you name it, we offer it.
Yeah.
And so we are low barrier. So just about everything we offer is free, can be done online. Sometimes in person. So, and you can reach me at Tom Elston. So TOME at OFSN.net. I know that sounds like a lot.
.net?
Yep.
Okay. Not org.
Yep. .net. And I'm always available to field questions and calls and help connect people. That's what I love to do.
That's great. That's great. Now, how many people are in your organization?
We are 35 people, and we just hired our third male. And I say that because I'll be in groups, and they'll be like, all right, ladies, have a good day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Tom. And yes. So I've been in social services roughly 15, 18, I don't remember, a long time.
Yeah.
And even as a white privileged male, I'm often the minority in the room. So it's kind of a funny
thing. Oh, me too. I was the only dad in a world of mommies. And I got called mommy all the time. You know, okay, mommies, let's line up.
Yep. I definitely have felt that one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually, in Portland, this is an aside, I just remembered, like, I was playing with my kids on a playground. And it looked so foreign that the cops were called on me because somebody perceived me as maybe being a harmful.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, these are my children. I'm just playing
in the park.
And I guess that was not noticed or seen much.
Wow. Wow.
That had a very profound impact on me.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been places where you're suspected, you know. There are some places that are very conservative, and when males are around, particularly female children,
yes,
there is like a jaundiced eye that looks upon you, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. You gonna have any more kids?
No. Without too much detail, I did have a vasectomy many, many years ago. Yeah, so, yeah. And I'm pleasantly happy with the amount of procreation I've participated in.
Yeah.
And I got to actually be at an event in Portland not too long ago with my friend Shane Sowards, who runs a group called The Squires. And he helps mentor teenage dads, ages 14 to 25. And I got to be on a panel talking to 15-year-old
dads.
Yeah. And I can't tell you, from my drive home from that event, I went right back to my kids, like, did I have the talks enough? Did I really get the points in there? And they're like, Dad, we know. We've had these talks. I'm like, we're going to have them again.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, doing the show, I realized that people never stop being parents, you know? Mm. You know, when your kid's 50 and you're 70, it's still your kid, you know? And even though they're mature and can make up their own minds, there is something within a parent that just can't go away, you know? Is that a good thing?
In my opinion, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to travel the world and do... I didn't make great choices always.
Yeah.
And being a father grounded me.
Yeah.
And really helped me hone the skills that were the most important, which, if I'm being honest right now, what I'm learning and developing is just being in the present moment and appreciating what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't always that person. And so if that can continue until I'm 75, what a gift.
Well, have you given any thought to retirement?
Not in this economy and not in this world and not with my chosen profession. No.
No.
Yeah, I have a son who's 15. He's going to Germany for spring break through the Astoria Waldorf program.
Oh, wow.
And he has these desires to make money, and I think that's great, and I think he's a humble human, but he says things to me like, Dad, I know you want to see the whole world. I know you want to eat every plate of food there is. I'm going to do that for you. And I would be remiss to not encourage that. So,
yeah. Send me a doggy bag.
Yeah. I'll carry the suitcase, you know, whatever role I can facilitate.
Give me the information for the OFSN and how they can get in touch with you, either phone or mail.
So a good way to get in touch with me is you can call me or text me. Okay. I'm one of these people who has my phone, and I value answering it.
Yeah.
And so you can reach me at 971-917-7906. I can connect you to OFSN. I can connect you to parenting classes, nurturing fathers, or just general local inquiries.
Yeah. Now, I'm imagining that you would like to see this organization grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in an earlier email to me, you mentioned, you know, dad walks and other activities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what some of those were?
Yeah. So the dad walks is just kind of a monthly, just get together and talk, mm-hmm. walk, get some fresh air. be outside of the telehealth world via Zoom that oftentimes we're in.
Yeah.
And I'm setting up a thing, just I don't have a name for it yet. Maybe you could help me, Stephen, but just where I'm available every Wednesday from 12 to 2.
Okay.
Via Zoom, we can get in and talk about anything and everything parent-related. Maybe it could be, how can you help me childproof my house? Or
yeah.
How do you deal with a kid who bites? Or
yeah.
Just any and yeah. everything. So just a free online safe space to check in about anything
fatherhood
related.
Now, are you aware of the National At-Home Dads Network?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of it that I'm seeing on a national stage that's growing.
Uh-huh.
And Oregon's really behind compared to other states.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get more with Clatsop County, and Clatsop County really is just now being receptive to a lot of my motivations.
Yeah.
The thing with Clatsop County is there's no money. And ultimately, I receive a salary from an organization that puts me in places where there's funding that supports the efforts.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I go to these CHART meetings, community health meetings and stuff, and I share my information. And, you know, like tomorrow I'm meeting with the Harbor. I care deeply about the work they do. And they want to do some sort of fatherhood trainings and things. And
well,
I actually do that. So
before
you spend resources and do this, how can we collaborate? Where Oregon's very progressive in a lot of ways, the fatherhood movement, as it were, I think is still lands as kind of a dirty word, if I can say that. And it's not a shame to any of the ladies or professionals. It's just maybe there's some harm or trauma there. So when I come into spaces and say fatherhood, it can be like, ooh, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And the prime example is I'm like, well, let's look at the WIC program.
Yeah.
Women, infants, and children. But did you know men can apply for that? Did you know single dads can apply for that?
No, I didn't.
Neither did I.
Yeah. Wow.
So just little things like that where we haven't really been brought to the table.
Yeah.
And if we're looking at the world and wanting to be in more of an equitable lens, I think some more father perspectives would be helpful for that.
Well, Tom Elston, I want to thank you for being a guest on Father Figures. It's been a pleasure.
Stephen, the pleasure is all mine.
All right. Come back sometime.
I will, anytime.
All right. Thanks. One of my heroes is Fred Rogers, and one of the things he used to say is, look for the helpers. Look for the helpers in life. Tom Elston is definitely one of the helpers. I want to thank Jason Shaw of Audionautics.com for the music. If you'd like to get in touch with me, and I wish you would, please send along an email to RadioRanchero@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, the days may be long, but the years are short. Till next time.
Being more curious about the world and having a little less of a glass ceiling. Love her.